Hello, business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives. Welcome to today's Business Radio, a new hybrid radio show that airs both on air as well as online and on demand. We discuss all the topics relating to your business. Today's Business Radio interviews experienced business advisors to help you build enterprise value, improve profitability, and plan for your eventual exit. Whether you're an entrepreneur just starting out, a seasoned business owner, or a top-level executive, today's Business Radio will help you achieve your personal and professional goals. Today's Business Radio is available around the clock, around the world, online, and on demand at todaysbusinessradio.com. Now, the host of today's Business Radio, Tom Lyons.
Hello, this is Tom Lyons. I'm here with my co-host, Sam Zordich, and our producer, Jorgie Jorgensen. And today's guest is Ken Kralik, who is the Director of Search Engine Marketing at FirstScribe. Ken, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, good morning, folks. Thanks for having me.
This is the third in a series of podcasts, and we've already had a couple interesting ones that have taught us that a website is much more than just something you throw out there on the internet. It's very deliberately designed, and you use keywords and you use search engine optimization to make it work. And they tell me you're the expert on search engine optimization.
Well, I'm a terrible designer, so I got to do something around this company, right?
Well, you got to earn your pay any way you can.
If I can, that's the best we can do. The best that I can give you from a summary of my job is that I've managed website designers and I've managed website developers before I worked with Jay, and I've been with Jay now about 4 years. The best job that I can provide for him and for my customers is to understand the art of design, but I don't do that. Understand good development and how that can take place, but also the big picture of the business requirements, which is when somebody comes in, they've often talked about they either don't know search engine marketing, they don't know websites, they have a website that isn't working, they don't know why. And it's often Jay's job to weed through what their real business requirements are, and then mine to really work on refining how can we help these people. And sometimes, as Jay's mentioned in previous podcasts, there's been some heated we're going to call them debates. Marital woes can be also a pretty good word for it. But the idea is figure out what the client actually needs and figure out what their website can do for them. And then my job is to come in, work with my designers, my developers, and my optimization folks and try and fulfill those requirements.
And so, typically, the goal of the customer is to bring in new customer, their customers, to convert to sales. So there's a dynamic involved.
Well, you would think, but interestingly enough, we still see clients. So we're sitting in the middle of 2009. So websites have been around quite a while. And we still have customers who come in with a business card that's online, and it doesn't do a thing. What we look at is how can we get a return on investment? How can we make this website so that there's some sort of a return on it? And that's foreign to some people. Quick, funny little story is Jay and I were sitting in front of a group. They do business consulting for lean manufacturing. And I sat in front of the CEO, and he said, "We've never had a lead come off our website online. It'll never happen again. We don't need any of that search engine stuff." And I bet him, I said, "This will work, and I'll bet you that it will work." And he's thinking high stakes, and I said, "I'll bet you $1 that you'll get a lead," knowing that one lead was worth several hundred thousand dollars for them. At this point, I think I'm up to about $12, and we haven't worked with them all that long. So this stuff does work if you take a concerted effort and actually balance it against the business requirement and the usability.
Mm-hmm. So was this a case of he didn't understand it, the low expectations, frustration? What was the problem and how did you deal with it?
There's this idea of some things won't sell on the internet, or certain leads cannot be built, or some services are not conducive to the internet. Over the course of this conversation, I'll throw out quite a few different numbers, and I speak from analytics. Hitwise is one company. Nielsen Ratings is another. What they do is they actually start studies where they will measure what did they do on the internet and did this actually pay off for the concerted effort so that geeks like me can throw some statistics around. One of the numbers that I can give you is of all sales that take place over the course of the internet, they're finding that roughly about 70% of them actually involve some internet use during the time of that sale. So Somebody
goes
out.
That's a high percentage.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And it can be at the start of the sale. It can be at the end of the sale. So over the course of this conversation, we'll talk about Twitter and Facebook and blogs and all this social media stuff. What it comes down to is you are no longer just a business card online. This is your point of contact for a lot of these people. And if they don't live right next to you, they will find a way to find you. And what's happened is a lot of negative reinforcement on this particular client's behalf. They've never received a client or a lead before because their website, it just wasn't conducive to sales. And so he spread that forward, assuming that we would create a nicer looking business card, but they still wouldn't sell anything. And they have, and they've been successful at it.
So this comes back to the idea that Jay talked to us about, was to sit down with the business owner and say, what is it you're trying to sell? Product, service, what is it? What are your expectations of the web? And then you go back and try to tell them what could be done on the web if it's done right.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, quite honestly, it looks a little like the fox guarding the hen house when we come in and tell somebody that they need to have a website that converts. But it goes both ways. Jay, the reason why I like working with Jay so much is he's a good Minnesota business owner. The intention is, and there's some raised eyebrows, but yeah, the intention is honestly to do business on a handshake and agree to things. And we work for our business each and every month. There's no long-term contracts for any of this stuff that we do. So if we can sign a client, come up with good business requirements, and then tell them, here's how we're going to go about doing that, and then we do deliver on our business objectives, they like us, we like them, and it's a long-term customer for both of us, and it's lucrative for all parties involved.
Well, I'd like to hear a little more detail on the search engine optimization and the use of analytics to
absolutely
help the website evolve based on what you're learning and how people are using it and where they're going.
Yeah, search engine optimization, SEO. I'm going to clear up a couple of quick little terms here because there's a lot of jargon that some pretty bad companies have thrown out in a lot of people's faces so that we can create some smoke and mirrors acts. All search engine optimization is doing is taking a website, developing it, making the HTML in such a way that the search engines, Google especially, can find all our content, that we have a lot of content, and then it says the types of things that people are saying when they go looking for you. So in our previous podcast, you folks talked about lawyers. Well, is it a lawyer or is it an attorney? And how many lawyers do we have? And what sorts of services do those lawyers and or attorneys actually provide? Well, what I do is work with the developers. The design is separate. The design needs to look right, and the design needs to impart this feeling of, on the user, of success. When I partner with these people, I see it. They're going to be good for me. But when it comes down to it, search engine optimization, all that it is let's make a lot of pages. Let's make sure that we have a lot of content so that the search engines have something to read and your visitors have something to read.
So let me get this straight. If I'm going out to the internet and I'm putting into Google attorneys in Minnesota in accidents, you know, or, mm-hmm. or you're actually creating the sites or the pages to be able to meet that need,
absolutely.
Meet that search. So it's actually search focused as opposed to, so user focused, completely user focused.
Right. And think about a lawyer. Now, these folks are personal injury attorneys, personal injury lawyers. And the reason why I intentionally throw those terms back and forth is Jim might say one thing, Carla might say another thing. But all they're doing is they're going out to Google and they're typing in personal injury attorney Minneapolis, or slip and fall, or car accident attorney Minneapolis. And we need to address all those topics. Because first of all, honestly, the lawyers provide all those different services, so we can speak to them. From a search engine standpoint, if we don't state what they do, we don't get those searches. And so we need to cover all our bases. And then you get into some finer points where my job becomes more and more important. Minneapolis in that search string is very different from Minnesota. Because when you think about it, if you're going out to buy something, you want it to be geographically located right by your house. And in general, most people will use something like a large city, which in our case, in this district, is Minneapolis. With a lawyer, they're one of the few groups where that's flip-flopped, because lawyers have their licensure throughout all of Minnesota, and it's not as important that somebody happens to be right next to you. Okay. All of those search terms need to be in the content, Tom, and need to first be learned about and realized on our part. Then we need to work with the client of what is it that you do, what content do you currently have, and how can we support these other terms.
Now, when you're saying content, are you also including images?
No, and actually that's a really great point that we've missed on. The only thing that matters to the search engines is text.
Okay.
And text links. So Jay and I both alluded to some of these, you know, heated arguments and discussions. You can make text look really fantastic inside an image, but the search engines can't read it. And so there's that fine line of lowest common denominator. What can they read? Well, they can read Arial, Times, and Verdana, which to a lot of designers isn't the most beautiful thing in the world.
Right.
Yeah. But you forget. And then all of a sudden we say, well, we want quote marks around it, and that doesn't work. Or we want it in flash, and we want it to blink and move and buzz, and that doesn't work. That's where my job becomes important, is I need to know what they're trying to figure out from a client's perspective, and I need to know what the users are trying to do, and then make sure it's presentable.
So you've got quite a challenge. You have to make it searchable to these search engines who really don't care about, or to Google or any ranking,
right?
But they don't really care what it looks like. On the other hand, for a user to come, once they've clicked, they found the site, they get there, it has to be usable for them.
Right. And that's the last piece of search engine optimization. And we're not giving anything away here from a secret standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
This is all well-known information. In fact, Google has outwardly facing PR people that say, hey, if you want a website that ranks in Google, write a lot of content. And that's the point. But of course, there's people like me who sort through, and I don't work with Google, and I don't know exactly how their algorithms work. However, I know how they tend to react to sites that I've built. And so we do A-B testing to sort this out. If we try to trick them, the new algorithms will sort it out. And so if somebody gets the great idea that we've had in the past of building a lot of fake sites with a lot of fake content or duplicated content, that's actually a big hindrance to your performance in Google. So these are good forward and progressive ideas of just write about what it is that you're doing, update it often. And if you do those simple things without any of the other magic sort of stuff that I do, you're going to have a website that works.
So for the organic search engine optimization, you're trying to imagine how the users would, what words the users would use to search for, let's say, that attorney for a personal injury case, and then do a keyword search to see how many times people have used those to actually search for that, and then try to incorporate those keywords into the content that's on your page. Is that correct?
Well, it's even more big brother than you might think. There are tools that specifically ask Google, Yahoo, MSN, and Ask.com, what keywords did people use and in what order last month in your search engines. So what we do is we subscribe to those services. We query them. In this case, we've been talking about lawyers. Well, we have a pretty good idea of what these lawyers might use, and we'll go out to Google and we'll do a few searches to see what their competitors are doing for a competitive analysis. But then we'll actually ask our subscription tools, hey, in Google, what keywords are people using? How often? How competitive are they? And these tools will spit all those numbers out for us. So what we're looking for, and here's where the pros come into it, and here's where my job becomes good for Jay and I, is with a little bit of background knowledge, I know what sorts of keywords are people using, but also what's competitive, what have we used in the past, and are they more or less likely to convert on those terms? And that's where my experience and intuition comes into a lot of the play.
So you do your research, and then with your knowledge and experience, you can come up with the terms or the keywords that should be incorporated into the content,
right?
So that when Google does their search, your site will come up faster than the other sites.
Yep. And I can just imagine, I'm thinking in terms of my parents driving down the road listening to this podcast, and they're thinking, now I have to write this long book of all this content with all these pages. If you think about, and Jay mentioned in one of the previous podcasts, how you use the internet, you're looking for a specific topic. And if you do a search for dog bite attorney in Minneapolis, that's the thing you want to find. you don't care about slip and fall. You probably don't care that they're really good as a lawyer with car accidents. You want to know about the dog bite stuff. So two or three paragraphs on one page about what you've done in the past for dog bites, that's perfect. Don't overthink your content or you'll sit into a spin and nothing will ever happen. And it goes out to blogs, which is another piece. Websites nowadays, if it's too educational, in other words, if it's written like a book or written like some sort of a lawyer piece, nobody's going to read it and nobody's going to understand it. It has to be conversational enough that Jim, who just got bit by a dog and doesn't understand his rights, can go out, do a quick search, and actually find somebody who can help him. And so from the business owner's perspective, you need to talk about what you do and you need to talk about it in a way that people will understand.
What happens if you don't have dog bite on your site? It was one of the terms that was completely missed in the content. Is there a way of finding out where dog bite is showing up in the searches aside from on your site?
You can. I can still find that information and I can find out what people are searching for. But if you don't state it in your text, you will not appear.
Right.
Now, this is where search engines have changed since even now Google, that started out as two guys, Page, and I can't remember the other guy's name. But anyway, you've got two guys out in California. They decide we're going to write a search engine that works better than the others. The reason why is they could discern whether or not there was content on somebody's page and whether or not it was important. So what Google does more than anybody else is they go out and they actively look for content. If there's a page that has dog bite on it, great. Then are there links pointing to it? Because if somebody else is citing this as a source, then it must be important. And so that's where one of the other pieces that we talk about, search engine optimization, comes into play. Links that point into your website. It's like an old book, a bibliography from a scientific manual. If you pointed to another source, it was important, mm-hmm. and that's what Google's looking for. But if you don't have links that point in to that page, and if you don't have the content about dog bites, you won't show up. So you can go out and do a search and a competitive analysis to see who's there, but if you don't have it on your page, you're not going to appear.
So for a business owner, what I'm hearing from these series of podcasts is, once again, it's not just the website. It's important that the content in there is important for the links. It's important that you understand what service or product you're offering and how people are looking for it and asking for it, and then incorporate all of those words into your content so that the search engines can find you.
And then there's one more problem, Tom, which of course is bait.
There's always one more.
Well, and how do we measure that success? So we've talked about this word analytics. What analytics are doing is there's nothing secretive here, and there's no collection of phone numbers or names or any of that other sort of black hat or hacker stuff. What web analytics are doing is when somebody comes to a page, it fires off a little piece of code that goes to the server. They're already on the server, so we're collecting this information anyway. What it's saying is they're on this page right now. What is that page? And what's more importantly is where were they previously? So if they were out on Google and they used some particular search term, we know that they got to this particular page by using Google and by using that keyword. And then we string all that information together. So as a user, we can see the first time they came in from an organic search from Google, they went to 4, 5, 6 different pages, and we can measure all that stuff. But then they left. So that keyword wasn't actually successful. But if they come back a second time, using a bookmark or an email blast or something else, we can actually string those visits together to one specific visitor, and we can actually create a return on investment across all this information.
And also help develop the strategy for your clients.
Right.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So then what happens is Jay works with the clients right up front of what are your business requirements and what are you trying to accomplish. Then I get involved a little more into what is it that you're trying to sell and how is that perceived out on the internet. Then I'm involved even more to how do we present that sort of information once the homepage is developed. Then we put the website out there and we put our best foot forward. And the analytics then prove us if we're right or wrong. The beauty of analytics is if we're right, we do more of what's right. And if we're wrong, we can very quickly change course. And then we're very forthright with our clients. It's not working exactly the way we wanted it to, or it is. We need to maneuver. Clients love to hear that sort of thing. If I can actually say, hey, this isn't working exactly how I thought it was, but we can change course because we know exactly what's going on, there's nothing better in my day that I can say that.
Well, so now if you're finding out that all of these search words, this you have to change strategy now. You have to change course.
Yep.
So how does the social media, getting to Tom's never-ending question of Facebook and blogging and Twitter and LinkedIn, mm-hmm. how would that help to define a new direction, or would it?
They're two very different things. And social media, of course, is all over the internet, and it's all over the news right now because it's the latest, greatest new thing. And it's been around for a long time. Social media is just a really good chat room or a really good way to email and keep in touch with people. But now all of a sudden you have one place where you can go, you can chat in real time. There's some advertisements, so of course it's free, and we can email and we can put up pictures. It's a conglomeration, and Facebook often is the one that we're talking about, is this conglomeration of ways to connect to people who otherwise wouldn't necessarily sit or talk over the course of coffee.
Ken, my ongoing question is,
yeah.
business owners.
Right, yeah.
Social media.
Yeah.
Do we need to use Twitter? Do we need to use Facebook? Do we need these things? Will they help us?
They may help you, but need is a relative term. It really depends on what is it that you do for a living. What social media does is, and actually here's a number that I can throw out. Facebook just reached 200 million subscribed users. They're now more visited than porn put together. For the first time since the web was really out there, the porn has been the strongest piece. Now Facebook's out there. Now all of a sudden you get business owners that say, whoa, bigger than porn, I can sell to this. And that's the problem, is can you, and is it conducive to you actually selling something? Because what you're doing is a lot like viral media. You're inserting yourself into a social conversation. If you have something to say that doesn't interrupt what those other people are talking about, great. If you're interrupting, now you're out at their homes, and it's like somebody coming up and knocking on the door at dinner time to hand you a piece of paper. It's inappropriate and actually can be very harmful.
It could backfire like telemarketing.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, that's not to say that people don't want to listen to what you are saying. So Facebook is a great way to do this, and Twitter a little less so. Facebook, you create a page. We call it a fans page. You broadcast that out and look for fans, which, of course, are clients that you already have or business associates. And you must keep it up to date, and you must have something to say. And it works even better if you have something exclusive to say to those Facebook visitors. But again, remember that these people are listening to you. It's not a direct PR sort of a piece where you can broadcast yourself out. If you do it right, you say the right things, and you're listening for feedback on that page, then it can actually spread virally.
That feedback that's so
right.
important, yeah.
Twitter is a different case. Twitter, you can sit
Stalking.
And you can... right. Twitter literally is 100 for visitors that aren't using it that have heard of it. It's a subscription service. What you're saying is, it's a free subscription, but what you're saying is, in 100 characters at a time, you broadcast out what you're doing right now. Literally. I'm walking the dog, I'm taking the kids out, I'm working, I'm surfing the web while Jay is paying me. That's the problem from a business standpoint. Now, from a business standpoint, broadcasting that stuff, unless you're Google, isn't as important, unless it's new services or something. But it's a great place to listen. And there's a little company or a little subscriber software that actually is called Twilert, T-W-I-L-E-R-T. And what it does is it listens for keywords in other people's Twitter streams so that you can sit and say, oh, FirstScribe, yeah. What are people saying about FirstScribe? And then react to it. It's reactive PR. So is it necessary? No. Is there a way to monetize these pieces? Absolutely.
I'm still not buying into Facebook and Twitter. Let's talk about LinkedIn.
LinkedIn is dying. Personal opinion. LinkedIn is a really great way... And again, we get opinions.
Newsflash, Sam, newsflash.
LinkedIn is a really great way for people to connect and to keep business connections. And it's impersonal enough that you feel comfortable if you're a user of connecting to people that you don't know all that well, but you've done a good piece of business on their behalf. However, it doesn't have the functionality that some of these other tools are bringing to the table. And so the connectivity of LinkedIn is faltering right now. But therein lies the problem. LinkedIn's perfect from a business connection standpoint, which is what they wanted.
Right.
People are using Facebook, which is a social media piece, to do more of this business work. And LinkedIn is having a little bit of an identity crisis. Do they go more social or not? Because that's not what they're good at. And if they don't, they're actually not growing at the rate that they were.
My goodness. Changing every day, Sam. I don't know if I'll ever keep up with this.
I'm thinking these tools, that, you know, some are push, some are pull, even in the social media arena.
So. Now, all of a sudden, instead of a website being a piece of information, like a print piece that you put on your magazine ad or on a business card, where you hand it to somebody and say, hey, go to my website. Now, literally what it is, the way that I describe it to people is, it's like if you set a large stick out in the parking lot. As people walk out to their car, you want them to see that stick. You want them to pick it up, maybe break it in half, and then hand a piece to their friends. And then that thing needs to grow so that it can spread around, because that's the way websites work. You need to listen to what's going on. You need to provide a good service. You need to appear in the search engines, and you need to be usable so that when people do get to your website, they can actually do something that they had intended to do. When it comes to social media, if you're not listening backwards and if you're not pulling that information, Sam, then it's a waste of breath.
The fascinating thing, I think, and we've talked about this in other podcasts, is Sam and I group all of this in, under a category of new media.
Mm-hmm.
And business owners are out there doing what they do, doing their business, selling their product or service, and they understand marketing, advertising, all the things that they've done for maybe 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
But now they've got a whole new toolbox called new media available, and they're all trying to figure out how to use it and how it works best.
Right.
And I think in this series of podcasts, we've done a pretty good job of investigating and figuring out how deliberate you need to be in designing your website and optimizing your website, and then what else is available to help you deliver your product or services to your customers.
The best way that I can say anything to summarize this is, make sure your website accomplishes a goal. Take it nice and slow and actually see and measure if it's accomplishing that goal. And don't listen to a lot of the smoke and mirrors, because the website needs to sell something and provide that good service. Otherwise, it's a pretty big investment.
And then incorporate it into all the other ways that you market your company so that it's seamless and it works together and it really works, which is what your optimization is about.
Right.
And your analytics are fantastic, sounds like. Any other final thoughts?
Nope. The podcasts that we've done, I think, are great. It's been a lot of fun to talk to you guys. The main thing that Jay and I both stress is, this is an arena where you have professionals that do have a good name and will stand up to the test and can do a good job for you. Believe in that. Ask them the hard questions and make sure that you can actually measure that ROI.
You've certainly learned that experience and knowledge in your field, as in every field, is very important.
Absolutely.
We'd like to thank you for being with us today. This is Tom Lyons for my co-host Sam Zordich and our producer, Jorgie Jorgensen. We'd like to thank Ken Kralik, the Director of Search Engine Marketing at FirstScribe, for discussing search engine optimization with us on this session of todaysbusinessradio.com.
You've been listening to Today's Business Radio with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the owner of Phelan Partners Limited, an M&A advisory and consulting firm. Today's Business Radio is also available around the clock and around the world at todaysbusinessradio.com. That's todaysbusinessradio.com. All content provided by Today's Business Radio is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal, accounting, and business advisors. Today's Business Radio is not liable for the contents of this podcast, nor does it endorse any commercial product or service mentioned or advised in this podcast. All radio shows, podcasts, and other content provided by Today's Business Radio is copyrighted and may not be reproduced or downloaded for any reason without prior written consent by Today's Business Radio. If you have a topic you'd like covered at Today's Business Radio, log on to our website at todaysbusinessradio.com and submit your comments and questions. Thanks for listening to todaysbusinessradio.com.